There you are, angel. There you are. There's our Lindy.
Lindy.
Ruthie.
Faith.
Harsh. Where's my cake? Where's my cake? Okay.
Who moved my cake?
Yeah. Who moved my cake? I'll be looking in the same place for cake forever, because that's the kind of person I am. Well, I have a lot to say, and it doesn't all hang together, so we'll see how this works. About a month ago, I went to a dinner party with some friends of mine, former Toastmasters. And as many of you may know, if you've ever participated with Toastmasters, there's a part of a Toastmaster meeting called Table Topics. And that's where you don't know what you're going to say until, or you don't know what you're speaking about until a minute before you give your talk. And our host said, okay, is everybody ready for Table Topics? We all said yes, of course, because we are diehard former Toastmasters. And he said, okay, I'm giving a speech over the 4th of July weekend, and I want you to all tell me what I should talk about. And I'm sitting there mulling it over, and I had 2 or 3 minutes because 2 or 3 people went ahead of me. And I said, I think you should talk about the fact that we're a nation of diversity, that we come from so many different ethnic, political, religious, moral, social, economic backgrounds, but that because we are all Americans, we live in unity. So I wanted him to talk about diversity and unity, and then shortly thereafter, Millie said, how about giving a talk on the 5th of July? And I said, oh, I guess I really wanted to talk about diversity and unity. So that's part of the talk. It has taken an interesting turn, but I like the fact that we sang everybody's beautiful, everything is beautiful, because it really speaks to the issue of diversity, doesn't it? Jesus loves the little children, all the little children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. The Bible says Jesus, the Bible quotes Jesus as saying, suffer all the little children to come unto me. It doesn't say suffer the little white children or the little Presbyterian children or the little Asian children or the little, you know, green children. It says all the children. And so we are a nation, indeed a world of diversity. I looked up diversity in the online Merriam-Webster's dictionary. See, I did prepare for this talk. And it says it comes from the Middle English word divers, diverse, meaning differing from one another, unlike. Synonyms, see different, composed of distinct or unlike elements or qualities. Each of us is distinct and unlike in some way. How many of us, and you can raise your hand if you feel like it or just think to yourself, how many of us were raised in the Catholic Church? How many in the Presbyterian Church? No Presbyterians here. How many in the Episcopal Church? Wow, I didn't know I was that special. A lot of recovering Catholics in this audience. But I venture to say that if we took a group of people this size that came together for other than religious reasons, that we might find Jews and Mormons and Muslims and Methodists and Pentecostals and you name it, we'd find them. Because we all have different religious backgrounds from the many one, however, and we come together as spiritualists here. So the saying from the many one is the second half of the from the one many. We all started, according to Sunday newspaper that Jeff quoted on Sunday Church, we all started from one. We all share a common ancestor according to a computer model. It says that all of us have a common ancestor. All 6.5 billion people in the world have at least one ancestor in common. and that ancestor lived probably no more than 5,000 years ago. So from the one, many. But if we look at religion, if we look at politics, if we look at ethnicity, if we look at country, all those things that John Lennon said we shouldn't look at, from the many, one, because we are all one people, we are all one race, we are all one planet. Anne Frank said we all live with the objective of being happy. Our lives are all different and yet the same. In diversity, we find unity. Now, did you ever wonder, as I did, why the antithesis of diversity isn't university? Or is that just me? I guess that's just me. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Okay. For the two of you who laugh, thank you. I know who my true friends are. Okay. So, another quote on diversity. Donald Williams, and I have no idea who he was, but he said, he might be Donald Williams. For those who have seen the Earth from space, and for the hundreds and perhaps thousands more who will, the experience most certainly changes your perspective. The things that we share in our world are far more valuable than those which divide us. From the many, one. And John Kennedy, I know who he was, said, if we cannot end now our differences, at least we can help make the world safe for diversity. So our challenge is to make the world, our own world, safe for diversity, which is a part of what I wanted you to think about tonight. Now, I work with a bunch of guys and gals who are interesting characters, and I had occasion to change the diversity unity theme of my speech last week because of an experience I had at work. And I didn't want to change it entirely, so I'm going to try and shoehorn it all together. Bear with me. I did something on Tuesday last week that I've never done in my entire life that I can remember. And that is, I hit someone in anger. Now my coworker and I have worked closely together, side by side, closer than Millie and I are now, for over 5 years. And sometimes he irritates me, and sometimes I irritate him. But I didn't believe that I was the kind of person that would use physical violence as a response to irritation. The longer we live, the more we learn about ourselves. So I had worked 17 hours on Monday and gotten about 6 hours of sleep between leaving work and coming back to work. And he said something that I had told him no to on numerous occasions in the past. And I said, if you do that, I'll have to smack you. And I've used that expression more than once in humor. But as I said it, I realized I wasn't laughing. So his response was most interesting, and as I say, in my defense, I have no defense. However, comma, he said, so bring it on, I dare you, smack me. So I hit him with an open hand on the back of his shoulder. And that doesn't sound so bad, but I hit him really hard. And, you know, it wasn't okay. It was a completely inappropriate reaction to his irritable position. And I did it out of, we're laughing and I'm making a joke out of it, but it wasn't okay. And I was clearly aware that it wasn't okay, and I apologized profusely as soon as I did it. And
they have fields for things like that.
They have classes too. The rest of the team is talking about doing an intervention or sending me to anger management, you know, I'll never let this one down. But that's a good thing because, you know, we learn from our mistakes probably more quickly than we learn from our successes. Jessamyn West, who said, "It's very easy to forgive others their mistakes. It takes more grit and gumption to forgive them for having witnessed your own." Well, I have a whole group of people who witnessed mine. And the second half of this talk is obviously about forgiveness. But it isn't so much about forgiving others, because forgiving others can be a very easy, very loving, very Christian thing to do. But it's more about forgiving ourselves. And in my case, it's really about forgiving myself for doing something that I consider unforgivable. Now, maybe he deserved it in the moment. But I genuinely loved and care about this man, and he genuinely loves and cares about me. And the solution to him being irritable is not to pound him into submission. Especially since it doesn't work in his case. I know this from experience. I've tried to emotionally and mentally pound him into submission for 5 years, and that hasn't worked either. So, can I get over it? Can I let it go? Can I not walk myself to HR and report myself for, you know, physical abuse? Or can I forgive myself? Can I be God-like in my ability to forgive? Because, you know, I believe God forgives us all. We all make mistakes. God forgives them all. Whether he should or not remains to be seen. But that's God's choice. Randall Worley says, forgiveness is not an emotion. It's a decision. Which speaks to the issue of can I? Because if it's not an emotion, something that I can't help feeling, but a decision, something that I can choose to decide, then it's much easier to choose to forgive myself. It says, Mahatma Gandhi said, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." Well, I like to think I'm strong, but after taking a poke at Dan, I begin to wonder. Sydney and Suzanne Simon said, forgiveness is freeing up and putting to better use the energy once consumed by holding grudges, harboring resentments, and nursing unhealed wounds. It is rediscovering the strengths we always had and relocating our limitless capacity to understand and accept other people and ourselves. They say that in this quote that we have a limitless capacity to understand and accept other people and ourselves. Had I a limitless capacity to understand and accept Dan, I wouldn't have taken a poke at him, would I? But now, do I have a limitless capacity to understand and accept myself for having done so? Time will tell. I'm kind of bearing my soul here as a palliative for the experience, I guess you'd say. And, of course, the final quote on forgiveness, perhaps the final answer to forgiveness, is from Robert Heinlein, great science fiction writer of the late 20th century. He said, "Women will forgive anything. Otherwise, the race would have died out long ago." I wanted to hark back to last week's talk by Rita and last Sunday's talk by Jeff. Rita talked about what I will constitute as fulfillment, and she talked about how do we figure out what we want in midlife and how do we figure out how to get it in ways that involve questioning ourselves and questioning our values and our morals and our beliefs. And Jeff talked about faith and the importance of faith to our forefathers and to us. And interestingly enough, forgiveness falls in the dictionary between faith and fulfillment. I worked that out. So if I can have faith, forgive myself, then I have a shot at fulfillment. I guess is how I worked that one out. But you know, I thought about it a little more, and I thought about a concept that I've been working on for a couple of decades now. It originally came to me in the 80s. And it's the difference between oh well and oops. And oh well is the expression that fits to about 95% of the things that happen to us in our life. Maybe 98%. You know, you spilled wine at the wedding. Oh well. Oops is that other 2% that is a little harder to handle. You can't just fluff it off with oh well. You spilled the wine on the bride. It was white wine. Oh well. It was red wine. Oops. Just this weekend I saw Superman Returns. You scratched yourself with a kryptonite crystal. Oh well. You're Superman. Oops! So life is really about establishing your own boundaries of oh well and oops. And being able to lightly let go of the oh wells and figure out a strategy for dealing with the oops. Now, interestingly enough, there's a website called the Oops List, and it's a list of pictures, most of which are airplanes that have crashed, so I will say. But, you know, oops is really in how you look at it. If you can shift it out of oops into oh well, then self-forgiveness is so much easier. And in the worst case scenario, you really only have 2% of the things that you do wrong to forgive yourself for, because 98% is oh well anyway. So, I took a smack at my coworker. Well, let's rephrase that. I smacked somebody. Oh well. It was my closest friend and coworker at work. Oops. But if I can forgive myself for the smacking part in itself, because it's oh well, then I can come to grips with the fact that I did it to Dan. And I know he forgives me because he feels about me the same way I feel about him, and he forgives me. If he did it to me, I'd beat the tar out of him and forgive him. I really didn't know I was going to be this self-disclosing. Okay. But since I am, I wanted to bring this all home to the holiday that we celebrated yesterday, the 4th of July. The 4th of July is about another F word, freedom. It's a celebration of the 230th anniversary of the writing of the Declaration of Independence and signing. And the Declaration of Independence says we all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to be irritable without expectation of compensation, shall we say. Free comes from a lot of different sources, but one of them is the Sanskrit word meaning own or dear. Free is our own dear thing. It's not an unlimited license, an unlimited choice, or an unlimited opportunity. It is, first of all, a responsibility before the God from whom we come. Freedom, interestingly enough, is not free. It's a responsibility. And the responsibility is that of being in control of ourselves first. And when we're in control of ourselves, then we can turn to the world around us and expect higher responsibility from those who surround us, our government, our planet. Free and freedom both fall between faith and fulfillment also, somewhere after forgiveness. Because without forgiveness, we can't accomplish freedom. Without self-forgiveness, we can't step up to self-responsibility. So, if we look at the whole theme of my talk tonight, it's about diversity and unity on the one hand, and about forgiveness and freedom on the other hand. But if you think about the diversity and the unity, it's much more difficult to live in a diverse world than it is in a world that's unified. Because everyone has their agenda, everyone has their axe to grind, everyone has their irritable moments. And we are all one, but we rub up against each other sometimes in diverse ways. And when we do, it's important to remember that we are all one. It's important to remember that when we come to metaphorical, at least, blows with each other, hopefully metaphorical, that we are all in this together. Buckminster Fuller said there are no passengers on spaceship Earth, only crew. We are all members of the same crew on this planetary spaceship. We must work and live together. All of us, all the little children of the world. And we must accept that we have a responsibility to achieve freedom for everyone. And if we can do all that, then we will truly be beautiful, because everybody is beautiful. And thank you for giving me this time.